A red car bumps through abandoned streets in Horenka, Ukraine. Inside, three journalists document the devastation of war-destroyed homes, a bombed church with its Christ statue somehow intact, the distant thunder of artillery. Benjamin Hall, Fox News correspondent, reports to camera while Pierre Zakrzewski films and Sasha Kuvshinova translates. They've been assured the Russians are 30 miles away. Then comes the whir of an incoming missile. The first explosion rocks the car. Pierre shouts to reverse. The second explosion hits them directly. Everything goes black. When Hall regains consciousness, he looks down to see his right leg gone, just bone and flesh hanging by skin. 15 feet away lies Pierre, motionless. This moment in March 2022 would kill two colleagues, nearly claim Hall's life, and ultimately reveal what truly matters when everything else is stripped away. Hall discovered his calling at 25 during a harrowing descent into war-torn Iraq in 2007. With no journalistic credentials, chasing a documentary about Iraqi rappers, the plane dove to avoid missiles. Something ignited. He felt utterly, electrically alive. He was instantly addicted. This wasn't recklessness. His mother, Jenny, shaped by trauma, raised him as an adventurer, living in Venezuelan mud huts, Botswanan tents, boating down the Nile. His strict father sent him to boarding school at 10, where he learned to survive alone. These experiences forged someone who felt most himself in extremity. After Duke University and a Hollywood stint, Hall made a vow during a 2010 Haitian voodoo ceremony. "Whatever it takes, I will do," a promise to reach the top of war reporting. This drove him to Libya in 2011, where he bribed across borders and hitched a weapon-smuggling boat to besieged Misrata. There, filming a young rebel bleeding out, he faced his first moral test: keep filming or help. He filmed. "I wasn't driven by noble causes," he admits. "I liked being there. It made me feel alive." War zones became his drug, until someone asked not what he'd seen, but what he felt. In 2013, Alicia, a childhood connection, approached Hall in London's Notting Hill. Unlike others fascinated by his war stories, she asked about the person behind them. Her simple, caring question began shifting his relationship with danger. By 2014, when Alicia was pregnant, Hall found himself in Sinjar, Iraq, three streets from ISIS fighters. For the first time, he hesitated. He gave Kurdish soldiers GoPro cameras and stayed back, not far, but back nonetheless. Something was recalibrating inside him. After daughter Honor's birth in August 2015, Hall joined Fox News as London correspondent. Two more daughters followed. By 2021, seeking stability, he transferred to Washington while his family finished the school year in London. Then, Russia invaded Ukraine in February 2022, and Fox asked him to cover it from safe Lviv. Despite promises to step back, the pull was irresistible. By nightfall, he was on a plane. In encircled Kyiv with Pierre Zakrzewski, Hall broadcast from a hotel balcony, dashing inside between shots to warm his frozen hands. During breaks, he made videos for his daughters, featuring three tiny hedgehog toys he carried beneath his body armor. Small rituals connecting war zone to home. March 14, 2022. After anchoring on 2 hours sleep, Hall prepared to report on Kyiv's defensive trenches. Ukrainian soldiers offered to show them a nearby abandoned village, assuring them Russians were 30 miles away. Hall, Pierre, and Sasha squeezed into the soldier's red car, leaving security man Jock behind, a decision that would haunt him. They documented the devastated village quickly, aware of distant shelling. Then the whir overhead. The first explosion 30 feet ahead, Pierre's shout to reverse. The second explosion, direct hit. Blackness. "In that darkness, I heard my daughter Honor's voice telling me to get out," Hall recalls. That voice pulled him back. He forced himself out, stumbled down a slope. A third explosion knocked him flat. His right leg was gone, his pants and shoes disintegrated. Pierre lay 15 feet away, warning about Russian drones overhead. Despite catastrophic injuries, Hall remained conscious long enough to delete a photo of his wounds so his family would never see it. Then he began dragging himself up the slope, clawing at orange dirt inch by inch. A Ukrainian Special Forces agent codenamed Song grabbed his jacket and pulled him into a van, beginning a rescue that would require diplomatic miracles. Fox News Pentagon correspondent Jennifer Griffin orchestrated an extraordinary rescue. Extraction specialist Sea Spray assembled teams, purchased ambulances, and gathered intelligence. The obstacles were daunting. Hundreds of checkpoints, shoot-on-site curfews, and shrapnel near Hall's carotid artery that could shift fatally during transport. Air evacuation was impossible. Russian surface-to-air weapons controlled the skies. Ground transport over bombed roads risked killing him. Then, extraordinary luck. A Polish government train transporting the prime minister to Kyiv offered passage, though securing permission contradicted official U.S. policy. Alicia received the middle-of-the-night call from Fox CEO Suzanne Scott. Benji is fine. He lost a leg. After the terror of uncertainty, losing a leg felt manageable, something they could handle together. Sea Spray navigated curfew-locked Kyiv, evading soldiers hunting Russian infiltrators, reaching Central Station where the Polish train waited. As it rumbled westward, Hall endured waves of unprecedented pain with only Tylenol, developing mental discipline to push past agony. When his phone worked, he called Alicia. That call triggered something profound. Hall's world contracted to one thing: his family. The ambitious war correspondent who once chased danger now wanted only to hold his children again. At Brook Army Medical Center, Dr. Joe Alderate's confidence was immediate. We've got you. Let's get to it. The damage was devastating. Depressed skull fracture, detached retina, severely damaged left hand, right leg amputated below knee, missing calf muscle, serious burns, left foot likely never functional. While days were manageable, medication-induced hallucinations trapped him in existential terror at night. Physical therapist Kelly Brown worked whatever muscles could bear pressure. After 3 weeks indoors, she wheeled him outside. That breath of fresh air reminded him a real world was waiting. Soon, prosthetists brought a test socket for his right leg, the first step toward walking with only 5 inches of tibia remaining. With Kelly's help and a makeshift boot, Hall stood upright at a walker, even marching in place. Support poured in. President Bush invited him mountain biking, Fox colleagues visited, therapy dogs comforted. At Fisher House, he bonded with James, a PTSD veteran whose young daughters made him a Lego figure with a pirate peg leg, easing his fears about his own children's reactions. Despite foot surgery requiring weeks of wheelchair recovery, Hall convinced doctors to let him walk days later, hiding excruciating pain to avoid delays. 3 days before leaving, his prosthetist replaced his pinlock socket with a vacuum-sealed version that felt perfect, like part of his own leg. The man who had dragged himself up that Ukrainian slope was learning to walk again. At Farnborough Airport, Alicia ran down the aisle and wrapped Hall in a tight hug, both crying and laughing with relief. At home, his daughters waited in yellow floral dresses beneath welcome home balloons. When he knocked on the playroom window as always, Honor and Hero rushed to him with joy. But 5-year-old Iris hung back in the corner, materializing Hall's greatest fear, that his children would be frightened of him. Then she asked if he had brought Yellow Jumpsuit, the fuzzy-haired hedgehog he'd sent videos of from Ukraine. When he pulled it from his pocket, she approached, took it, and finally leaned against him, saying, "I love you, Daddy." That moment of acceptance meant more than any award or professional achievement. Most days, Hall feels like the same old Ben, but sometimes he realizes he's someone new. His wounds require daily rituals, and simple tasks remain challenging. Yet his daughters have been remarkable, even competing to help attach his legs. Recently, he lifted Iris despite medical advice, leaning against a wall to avoid falling. That moment, holding her as she laid her head on his shoulder, is the gift he's been given. Hall thinks often about Pierre and Sasha. Dave, one of his rescuers, explained their deaths weren't meaningless. In a conflict marked by propaganda and lies, they, with you, sought to bring truth to light. The bombing obliterated any distinction between Hall's professional and personal selves. The reconstituted Ben is stronger, better, more joyful than before. Though journalism's pull remains, Hall's iron will to reach the top has softened. After 7 years of constant travel, he now cherishes what he once took for granted: dinner tables, bath times, bedtime stories. The ambitious correspondent, who once felt most alive running toward danger, has discovered something more profound: that life's deepest meaning isn't found in extraordinary moments, but in ordinary ones. Not in distant war zones, but in the eyes of your children. Not in chasing death, but in embracing the miraculous gift of being alive.